Well, another story from 1989 that doesn't necessarily get talked about when it comes to Chicago history has to do with a fire. Sure, there have been bigger fires, but this one in River North not only charted a course for the contemporary art scene in town, but for a neighborhood. The River North Art Gallery fire burned for days back in April 1989, and in doing so, it destroyed galleries and collections of priceless contemporary art, and the Chicago community never fully recovered. Joining me in studio to talk about the fire is Ginny Van Ellier. She's the publisher of Chicago Gallery News, a publication that's been covering the Chicago art scene since 1983. Ginny, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you. What a story. This is a story that your article was one that I was very, very good article about this story, but this is something I don't think a lot of people paid attention to, that if it didn't necessarily affect them, about this one building that burned in 1989.
Well, if you are a part of the art world, you certainly do remember Saturday, April 15th, 1989. And full disclosure, I was not part of the art scene at that point. But my predecessor, who founded Chicago Gallery News, she and her husband at the time had a gallery that was destroyed by the fire. Mm. So I have been with CGN since 2002 and heard many stories of it's a topic that comes up on a regular basis because it was so significant.
All right, take us back to 1989 River North. River North, as we know it now, is a neighborhood that houses luxury apartments and houses, and it's really sort of a glamorous, glitzy neighborhood. But back in 1989, it may have been edging that way, but it was a home for the arts community.
Well, and it sort of started basically in the first gallery that was in River North was Zola Lieberman, which had opened in 1976. And basically, a few years later, a lot of the galleries that had been along Michigan Avenue and in smaller spaces, sort of in downtown, were attracted to River North, which is a former manufacturing district, because of large former factories and mm-hmm. big industrial buildings that had huge ceilings and freight elevators and all these things that could expand the kinds of art that they were showing. So pretty quickly, a group that was called the Original 16 moved over from sort of basically where Crate and Barrel used to be, mm-hmm. Where Starbucks is going, over to Superior and Huron, and sort of that part of town.
So this is the west side of River North, where you're getting closer to the Ohio Ramp. People may know for where the Kennedy is at, and that area that you know has just exploded. I mean, to think about that area now as what it was even 20 years ago,
it was briefly called Soho, I am told, which didn't stick. Which I think is probably,
probably good.
I think somebody thought Soho, we'll do it right.
Yeah,
there.
Right.
But yes, it became River North, and out of that sort of dozen and a half galleries that started in the early 80s, things really exploded. And also part of that expansion was John Wilson had started the Original Art Expo at Navy Pier in 1980, which at the time was a totally novel thing to do outside of Europe.
Right.
And it put Chicago on the map. And as that grew up, a lot of galleries expanded and opened and continued to move to or open in River North.
Tell us about the building. This building was a historic, it was a historic building. It was an old factory of some sort.
It was designed by Louis Sullivan and Dankmar Adler.
Wow.
So it was 1881, 1901. It was sort of a collection of buildings that were the Brunswick Blake Colander plant. And it had been, I think, maybe slated for historic preservation, but not quite yet. And so it itself was huge and took up
the whole block.
Was the whole block, and it really was sort of bounded by Huron, Sedgwick, Orleans, and Superior Street.
Mm. That's a huge amount of space. So that whole block was an old factory, and that was being used for galleries, and other people were coming in.
There had been 22 galleries sort of in that building, and then I read that about a dozen had moved out because the building became under construction. There was a real estate development firm at the time that had owned it and decided to develop it, and it was sort of touted as like the biggest development that was going to be happening in Chicago and sort of putting River North on the map as a place to be. So there were a few galleries that were still in that building as this construction was about a year underway.
So let's take us to that day. It was April 15th, 1989. This fire, what do you know about it? How did it start and all that?
What I know is that it was early in the morning on a Saturday, which, you know, for other people, they might not be going to work, but for galleries tend to be open on Saturdays. They tend to be closed on Sundays and Mondays. So it was early in the morning, and reportedly it started in multiple places within the building. And I think it was a 6 to 7 story building. So it was, and as I said, the whole block. So it was huge. And then it quickly went to be a 5-alarm fire. And you could feel the heat, you know, blocks away. There were people who said they could see it in suburban Hillside. They could certainly see it from Lakeshore Drive. So it started and it got bad fast, partly because the building was under construction. So it was filled with piles of wood, drywall, propane. There were timber joists. Mm-hmm. It was a historic building. Like, everything about it just right. made things go fast.
And in your article and the reporting on this, to think about a building in today's day that smolders for weeks on end, it's not something that it can happen, but it's not something that is readily available to any of us to be like, oh, there's that building that continues to smolder. Right. This was not just about April 15th or even the subsequent days. For weeks, people were aware of a fire because it kept being on fire.
Yeah. I mean, they said at the height of the blaze, there were like 180 firefighters and 50 pieces of equipment. I mean, you know, a 5-alarm fire is calling everybody available to come and combat it. So the thing that the building smoldered for weeks, but the community did as well. And one of the dealers who was a tenant at the time had the day before gone to a Cook County judge and tried to file an injunction to stop construction because it had been underway for a year, but he and some other people in the building were afraid that there were some risky practices that were being done.
And the part of this story that continues to be a mystery is, even to this day, there isn't a cause of fire. I mean, that it was such a disaster and such a big building, it was hard to find out exactly what started the fire.
Right. As I said, people in the art community continue to talk about it. They have different, you know, experiences, different theories, different memories that come up about it. But ultimately, the fire department said that the evidence was just too badly damaged. I mean, there was nothing left to be able to rule what it was, which is just like anything else. When you can't put something to rest,
right.
It just sort of continues to be out there.
Ginny Van Elie, she's the publisher of Chicago Gallery News. We're talking about the River North Art Gallery fire that burned in 1989. And we'll take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about what was lost and, as a community tried to rebuild, what that looked like. It's Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, celebrating 1989. Music coming in and out. Bob Mould, of course. We're right now talking about the River North Art Gallery fire that burned for days in 1989. Ginny Van Elie is here. She's the publisher of Chicago Gallery News. We're talking about this fire and catching up on the conversation. It burned for days, not unlike any of the stories about fires of this time. There are some issues. The sprinklers didn't work. The fire doors were inoperable. There were a lot of things about this fire that made it worse because of the state of the building.
Yes, definitely. And I think that, again, was going on to just sort of, for lack of a better word, fuel the theories that happened later when people were so upset, is there was such a sense of loss because everybody wants to know who to blame, and everything was sort of inconclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, you know, the scene was really lively and really like the place to be. I mean, at that point in the 80s, you know, the galleries, the openings would be packed and everybody was there, and everybody was in proximity to one another. So that was another thing that made that part of River North special, is that it was not like now where things are farther afield. People were packed into buildings and all in one place, and to have a huge physical component just obliterated was traumatic in every possible way.
What was lost, material-wise? What when it was all said and done, are you losing art pieces and collections?
Yes. Obviously, the ultimate casualty was the artwork. And there were estimates that it was $50 million worth of art. Mm. There was a range of galleries and a range of artists that were in those spaces. So that was one thing. I mean, there was Chima Kobo at the time. A year's worth of work was lost from Zola Lieberman Gallery. There was an entire estate of a deceased artist at Rowe Gallery that was completely incinerated. There were dozens of artists who had work in the galleries that it was just gone. And it's different than a business that has property that can be replaced in some way. I mean, there is no way to replace it. And when you think about how the time it takes an artist to create unique work and to have it be gone, there's no turning back. So you have careers that have gaps. You have, you know, financial lifelines because people had shows coming up and they were counting on selling it. And everybody's sense at the time, you know, was sort of, my whole life is in there and it's just gone. There was also records. I mean, records of things, records. So even if an artist didn't lose artwork, maybe records about sales or provenance or anything else was irreplaceable. So at the time, right after, there were a couple of things put on by the Chicago Artist Coalition, even Leslie Hindman, to try and address some of the issues for artists at that time, like keeping your records and books off-site, getting a faster jump on being more computerized.
How do you, from your estimation and, you know, from your reporting, how did the arts community react and respond and even rebound after this fire?
Well, I think it sounds like there was just moments of, you know, people sitting on the steps and crying. I mean, Kathy Edelman, she opened her gallery at the end of 1987 and just moved from River North to Westtown. She said at the time she saw it from Lakeshore Drive. She got there as fast as she can. She abandoned her car on Lakeshore Drive or on Chicago Avenue and got there, and everybody was just sitting in tears. And that kind of sense lasted for a little bit, but within a week, I think the Merchandise Mart said, you can come, if you have a displaced gallery, come and be in the Mart temporarily. There was another landlord nearby who said, have space for $1 a square foot. I think there were a lot of temporary things that people tried to figure out what to do just to get people back up and running. And another reason for that was the 10th edition of Art Expo was set to happen 3 weeks later.
Wow.
Which is, like, for lack of a better word, Black Friday. I mean, it's the busiest day or time of the year for an art fair, for a gallery. So to have that happen where you're displaced, you have no records, they banded together to try and get back on their feet initially. And then after that, there was a benefit auction put on by Chicago Artist Coalition with Cosmopolitan Bank that September. They had 50 artists, some who were sort of really directly affected by the fire and others who weren't, create original works of art to be sold to just get some artists back on their feet. So there was definitely a common theme, and the theme of that benefit was regeneration.
The long term, when we think about what the arts community, the contemporary arts community and gallery community looks like today, what River North, the neighborhood, looks like today, you really can draw a line to what happened with this fire in 1989. How has the community changed when you look at it? I mean, River North still has art galleries. It may not be the same as it was, as you're talking about in the 80s, but it seems that there still is a presence in this neighborhood.
Oh, definitely. And I think that's the thing that people hold on to the most, is that's where things really got started. And, I mean, when I look at old copies of Chicago Gallery News, when it was first out, you know, there's a 1989 spring edition that has 65 galleries just located in River North. And then there's another 40 galleries in the magazine in, you know, around Michigan Avenue, Randolph Street, and sort of Old Town. But that's 65% of basically the galleries in there were all in one neighborhood within a couple blocks. Now, we still have over 100 galleries listed in CGN, you know, and on the website, but they're just more spread out.
Yeah.
And there's more in the suburbs, but there's a lot more in Westtown. But there was a migration from River North to the West Loop, and it's kind of gone to Westtown now. Like, there's always going to be a change. I think it just happened in a much more dramatic fashion because of the fire, and that was just a spreading out of the art community.
Yeah. Obviously, it's there's still a lot, and I think the conspiracy theories are interesting. You know, I'll say it if you won't, just this idea that there were a lot of people who wanted space in River North to create a neighborhood and high-priced housing and to regenerate a commercial and real estate or residential area. and art galleries got in the way. And
well,
I
it's
think
still
that
happening.
Yeah, but that seems to be the where the conspiracy theories are around how that fire started, especially since the fire department can't tell you how
right.
it got started.
It was inconclusive. They couldn't rule anything. Everybody had their own ideas, but it did clear out a desirable city block. And that was basically made desirable because of the galleries and the artists who were there, because they staked the territory first, which is sort of the natural path people usually say about gentrification is, you know, the artists and creatives go there first.
Yeah. Ginny Van Allier, she's the publisher of Chicago Gallery News. You can read this article and other great stuff about Chicago arts and the contemporary art scene here at ChicagoGalleryNews.com. Ginny, thanks so much for coming in and talking about this story that happened 30 years ago now.